Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What do two local public school advocates think about coming changes to Iowa's collective bargaining laws for public employees? Let's go in depth with Susie Card with the Iowa State Education Association from Pella and Barbara Persoon, Pleasantville High School teacher. Well, Susie and Barb, the Republicans in the Iowa legislature and the Iowa House and the Senate have just voted on collective bargaining for public employees in the state of Iowa, and I presume that it's on its way to Governor Branstad and that he will sign it. I just would like to hear your thoughts on what just happened.
Well, they didn't get rid of all of it. They only got rid of part of it. The only thing that we can now negotiate is wages, and I believe it's up to a certain percent.
It's a base wage.
It's a base wage, exactly. Because if they got rid of collective bargaining, then we would still have the right to strike. But they're being clever about that. So,
well, they made some amendments today. I haven't seen the final bill. But overall, it's a sad day for teachers, for public workers. You know, they tried to divide and conquer the police and the firefighters with everybody else, but they didn't accomplish that. We stuck together. Police officers were at the hearing speaking on behalf of collective bargaining, and firefighters were there fighting with us during this whole time. So, you know, I'm thankful that we had a very cohesive group, and we're not done. We're still, their collective bargaining is still there. They just tried to get it, but I think they, when you make an elementary teacher mad, that's not a good thing. I've never seen teachers so angry. I mean, I've done this for 27 years in public education, and I've seen the good and bad, but I've never seen people this riled up and this angry about what's happening to them.
Do you know why they're so concerned with at least getting rid of those components they got rid of? Negotiations over vacation, health insurance, time off, all of that. Why was that important? Why put the state through this?
Well, I think this is a Koch brother initiative. I think what you saw in Wisconsin was from ALEC. The American Legislative Exchange Council.
And we have had, I know our legislators have carbon-copied bills from them before.
Yeah, and we have Schneider and Rob Taylor are on their some kind of board for ALEC from Iowa. They're representatives there. So we know it's probably from there. It's probably a little bit of what was written in Wisconsin came down here, because if you read the law, there were a lot of things that you're like, it really didn't apply in Iowa. You know, they had the word excluded in there. We don't have the word excluded in Chapter 20. So some of the wording in there, you know, they took it from someplace else.
Well, and ALEC often on many issues issues position papers, and then it provides a unified effort all across the state for Republicans, and Republicans love it. Provides them a baseline, a rationale, and a strategies and tactics on how to proceed on these issues, and Democrats don't like it at all.
Well, I think part of it is, too, is, I mean, looking at the money. A large amount of the state budget goes to K-12 education, and if they'd like to cut taxes but still maintain the balanced budget, where is it going to come from? And as I have referred to my legislator several times, when they give away all this money for property tax credits, what was it, $12.1
billion, yeah,
and our state budget is only $7.1 billion, I'm feeling like, okay, you could take it away from some other people, too. The reason I pay taxes, and I'm like everybody else, I don't like to pay taxes, but I consider it a social duty. It's something that you do because it makes society and our country, our state, our city, our school district, whatever, it makes it better. I pay taxes to pay for policemen and for keeping my roads plowed and for school teachers. That's why I pay my taxes. I do not pay my taxes to help profit-making companies. they're, you know, I'm a capitalist. Yeah, if they can't make it on their own, then they shouldn't be working. I get really upset about that. I pay my taxes because for the social services that our state provides. And one of those is public school, and that affects what percentage of the people in our state. And when you take money away from that or reduce the amount that they have to work with, I get kind of ticked off.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about collective bargaining with Susie Card with the Iowa State Education Association and Barbara Persoon, Pleasantville High School teacher.
I saw just a few years ago that the Republican Party was, and Jeff Kaufman in particular, the chair of the party, was defending Chapter 20 when Democrats, I think it was in 2008, wanted to tinker with it. And he was arguing that there's nothing wrong with it and that we should proceed when Democrats wanted to expand some kind of bargaining rights. And so they're on the record for defending it until just this November. And this all started in November.
Yeah, well, I think part of it was they were angry when that bill went to Culver to go from a right to work to a fair share, which Culver vetoed it, so it didn't go through. But I think that kind of stuck in their craw at that point. And so the other thing is one of the legislators in the 70s, when collective bargaining was going through, voted no, and he's now our governor. So that's probably still stuck in his craw with not wanting collective bargaining in the 70s. I'm sure that's part of the issue here.
But that was ushered in under Republican Governor Robert Ray.
Yeah.
And it was a bipartisan. And that was something that was not pushed through in a week. That was something that they spent a couple years working on. And that was it ended up being like a 17-page bill that they eventually passed. What they did this time was they dropped the bill at about 9:30 Tuesday. Nobody had it beforehand, and I don't know how many actually read it. Just judging from the forums I attended, it didn't appear that legislators had much knowledge of the bill, and that has been fast-tracked, and that's probably to keep their group as cohesive as possible and trying not to let them get influenced by their constituents.
So what does it mean for public employees now? And Barb, you just came from teaching. What was the reaction in Pleasantville?
Well, when I was just talking to Susie, and I just mentioned I was talking to a couple of younger teachers in the parking lot as I was coming here, and one of them says, "It's always darkest before the dawn, right?" And I said, "Well, I'm not so sure about that." But they've been very upset about it. One of the things, when you get into teaching, you don't expect to get a lot of money. That's not one of the major things you get there. But you expect to make a living wage. And so one of the things, the reason why we don't get as much money is because we do a trade-off. We trade off for benefits. We trade off for health insurance. We trade off for a couple personal days. We trade off for that sort of thing because we know that there isn't as much money from the state, and we're willing to say that. But when they start taking anything that we want, you know, we trade off so we can do language sometimes, so we can make the working conditions better, or we can make the environment, the learning environment for the kids better. You don't go into teaching to get rich, but you don't expect to be having to scrounge. I mean, I can remember my first year when I used to teach at Colfax. That was a number of years ago. 2001, 2002, there was a new teacher there, and nice young man, everything, and I was talking to him, and his second year, he was mentioning to me, he said, "Oh yeah, he's a part of a roofing crew. He made more over the 3 months in the summertime roofing than he'd made the 9 months teaching and coaching." So I feel like sometimes people don't, you know, they look at you and they say, "Wow, you're making a lot of money." Well, we are professionals. We do deal with a lot of stuff. And maybe it looks like a lot of money to some people, but on the other hand, if you're looking from a professional viewpoint, it's really not.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about collective bargaining with Susie Card with the Iowa State Education Association and Barbara Persoon, Pleasantville High School teacher.
At a forum that I saw you at, Susie, the mm-hmm. other day, a young man, a teacher, stood yep. up and said to the legislators that Minnesota was starting to look pretty good. Do we have to worry about that?
I think it's a real worry. Just talking to some of my colleagues, I'm a UNISERV director for ISEA, and they're already, superintendent from Minnesota was already down talking to teachers, trying to, I would call it, poach them to come teach in Minnesota. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think you're going to see teachers jumping from district to district if they're offered more, especially like people in Barb's category that teach multiple high school science classes, and your certification is probably everything.
Right? It's 712 math and physics.
Yeah, and Barb will tell you this, you know, I'll hear, well, why don't they make a lot more than an elementary teacher? And to me, I taught middle school science. Well, when they get to high school, you hope they have that base information. So that falls on the elementary teachers and middle school teachers to make sure that base information or knowledge is there when they get to
Barb. I totally agree, because that's one of the things they always talk about. Better teachers now can get better paid. And, you know, so, and they kind of are implying, too, those scarce teachers are going to get bonuses or something to sign on. And I once went to one of the governor's symposiums a couple years ago, and he was mentioning how we should have different, you know, we should be able to pay different according to what you teach. And I went up to talk to him, and he was too busy, but I did mention to our lieutenant governor, I said, look, I teach. I teach upper-level math. I teach physics. I said, and if I don't have good elementary teachers down there, by the time they get up to me, they won't have discovered their potential, and I will have to spend all my time teaching them things they should have learned before. I have to have quality teachers in the elementary and quality teachers in the middle school for me to do my job correctly. So all this, you know, well, the elementary teachers, you know, they're a dime a dozen, they really shouldn't be paid as much. Oh, my goodness, no. That's where, speaking as a mother of five, I know when the majority of learning goes and when your brain is most likely to pick it up, and that's in that early elementary stage.
That's true.
Oh, my.
Elementary teachers are such good-hearted people, and they just go out of their way. If you've ever walked in an elementary class, I'll bet more than half of the stuff in there they bought.
Oh, yes,
because
totally.
Because they find it's important for kids to have those stimulus for them.
This is just one challenge that our public school teachers are going to face this legislative session, I think. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you believe the listeners should be watching out for and talking to their legislators about?
Well, I think the next thing on the horizon is vouchers. And I've been to a couple forums, and they're trying to sell vouchers.
Or education savings plans.
Yeah. You know, saying, well, it gives you choice. Well, right now you have choice. You have open enrollment. What it looks like is they want to use those education savings accounts for people who homeschool or go to a private school. And I have no problems with anybody homeschooling. I've had family do that or go to a private school. I've also had family do that. But I have a problem with my taxes funding that. And when I've gone to forums, they'll use, well, you're paying twice if you're sending your kid to a private school. You're paying your taxes for the public school, and then you're paying for your child to go to a private school. Well, that type of logic doesn't make sense to me, because that would be like me saying, well, I belong to a private golf club, so why should my taxes go to the public golf or a private pool or a park? You know, my kids will play in the backyard at my house. Why should my taxes go to the public park? So that logic, you know, what's going to happen is to fund these vouchers, they're not going to fund public education. It's going to become a pay-to-play system, and that's not what public education was put into place for. It was to even the playing field. So I think the public needs to be really aware. They need to ask questions. They need to understand, how are they going to audit any of this? If I was somebody who decided, I want to homeschool my kids, And that would be a couple thousand dollars. I want to use that to go to Orlando to teach them physics at Disney World on the roller coaster. How is that going to be audited? What's going to be allowed? What isn't going to be allowed? If I want to teach them cooking and I want to get some really good pots, if you've ever been to Williams-Sonoma, they have really nice pots there. Can I use the money to buy that to teach them how to cook? So, you know, I think there's just, I think that's just a mess waiting to happen if they go down that road. And I think that would be wasting people's taxes.
I have taught in private and public. My kids have attended private sometimes. My husband was a parochial school principal for a while. And again, this is a choice. When they're talking about choice, you are making the choice. You're saying, no, I don't want to do the public thing. I want to do something different. And maybe it's because I want to teach something different. I want to teach religion or something like that. I have a lot of difficulty, like you, my tax money going there. Also, if I don't like what's happening in my public school, I can go down and say, I'm not happy with what's going on in my public school. And as a taxpayer, they have to listen to me. If I go to the private school and say, hey, I hear you're teaching this, they can say, so what? Buzz off.
When I've gone to these forums, they're talking about how much they have to cut their deappropriation, and then yet they want to add this on there. So I think they're picking and choosing.
Well, and this was another thing when I was at private school. Someone would come in with a special needs child. They'd always say, well, you know, we really don't have the facilities or the teachers. You should probably take them to the public school. They have everything ready for them there. Or if you had a child misbehaving in class, you'd say, you're out.
Well, and you had asked earlier about the association. I think this is actually going to strengthen. Actually, I'm seeing it now. It's strengthening membership. Like I said, people. I've never seen people angrier than this whole situation because they know their voice is being taken away. But I already have people calling me now wanting to join the association. I haven't had anybody say, oh, I want to quit. So I just see this as strengthening and actually giving us a stronger voice.
Thanks to Susie Card and Barbara Persoon for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.